Hey, this is the Freaky Fauna Files podcast.
I'm the chicken.
And I'm the egg. Well, you never know who comes first.
So this one's gonna be a good one. Welcome to Freaks of Nature. Throughout mythology, we've been warned about creatures that defy logic. Beasts with multiple heads, mixed up bodies, or even impossible anatomy. But what if I told you, what if, that those mythical mashups aren't entirely fictional?
Today, we're going to dive into some real-world versions of these monsters. Mm-hmm. I'm talking animals that are going to break the rules of biology.
Scary.
And stick around for the safe zone because we practice safe freakiness here.
Go find us on most social media platforms and send in your best questions and or stories for our next Q&A episode. You can email us at info@freakyfaunafiles.com. Let's get started.
I'm going to start us off with a freaky fauna. Welcome to the glass frog.
Oh.
So I should say frogs, plural, because there's over 150 species of these little bits.
Wait, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, I had heard of the glass frog, but I thought it was just like
one or...
Yeah, just one.
Yeah. Oh, these are little bitty dudes. We're talking 2 to 8 centimeters or like maybe 1 to 2 inches. And baby.
It's like your thumb.
Very. And the special thing about these guys is that the ventral side, or his little belly where he houses all his organs, is fully translucent. But the dorsal side, or the top of him, his back, is green. And that allows him to blend in from leaf tops, you know. And it's very interesting.
Well, why wouldn't he just be totally clear? Wouldn't that be the ultimate blend in?
Well, then, because your organs are not clear. They're with blood, and they're a little red, so you would just be a little, like, splotchy dude on a green leaf.
Yeah, I guess in this picture,
is he more clear in the photo?
If it was just, like, the intestine, I would think that would look like a worm.
Well, I actually have some color theory coming up next.
Oh, okay, hold your horses. Sorry, I'll hold it. Sorry. Holding them.
Holding. So the underbelly has minimal pigmentation, minimal melanin, and that's what allows it to be clear. And it's also very thin. It's only a few layers thick as contrast to some pretty thick epithelial skins. But their organs are very compact and they're very flat as to avoid casting shadows.
Oh, no.
So they really thought all this through. They got flat organs, thin skin, clear skin. They've got it to a science.
Holy crap.
So the trade-off, which I think is, these are so funny. Reduced melanin obviously makes you more vulnerable to UV damage. So they get sunburned.
Oh, babies. They got to wear sunscreen.
Or they got to wear the frog sunscreen.
Fox sunscreen. Mud.
Mud. And it also is increased dehydration risk because, you know, you're frying out there with your pale skin.
Yeah. And I bet they're losing a lot with that thin membrane on their mm-hmm, belly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Their water's just seeping out of them.
So, we talked about their organs being flat and your organs hold blood. So, I'm going to get into red-green blood cell concealment. Okay? Red-green theory. So, recent studies, i.e. 2022, show that glass frogs can hide up to 90% of their red blood cells in their liver when at rest. So it just sucks it into their liver, which is hidden. It's more of that clear color that you're seeing. And now they're no longer a little red, you know? So the green from their dorsal side will show through.
Oh, what?
Isn't that crazy?
What?
And somehow, and this is a trick of evolution or else you wouldn't survive, it does not cause clotting or oxygen deprivation while they are remaining in their sponge form. So they're just living their little life with all their blood centralized in their liver.
Damn, talk about high strung.
I know, isn't that crazy? So red is actually one of the most visible lights. So if you're going to be translucent, you really got to hide all your red. Mm. So by removing all that, you know, it achieves optimal transparency.
Holy.
And so how it works is that the liver becomes packed with red blood cells. So when the frog is ready to become active again and it no longer needs to necessarily sit still, quit breathing, the red blood cells re-enter the circulatory system and it hops around like normal. Isn't that cool?
I I don't know what fact is blowing my mind more. Like the color theory, the fact that the organs are flat in and of themselves so they don't cast a shadow.
I know. How much of a shadow could a 2-centimeter frog liver really cast? Man.
Like you said, maximum 2 inches, right? Like 7 centimeters or something like that.
But I guess when it comes to life or death, like, you know, every predator is specialized to a prey. So I'm sure that's really all it takes for this dude to be snatched up and eaten. So he's thought of it all.
That's wild.
That is wild. That's the glass frog for you.
That's cool. And there's 150 plus species of these?
Yes. I did not look to see if all 150 are the green clear, you know, but...
I'd be willing to bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be willing to bet. It seems like they have it down to a science. They're not going to stray, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
Dang. Well, that's really fucking cool. I will kind of segue that over into something also small, but more on the mammal side.
Okay, mammals. I got a mammal. We switching?
Mammals. We are. We're switching over. We're switching over. So we are going to be talking about the marmoset. All right.
I've never heard of this.
Oh, you're in for a treat. So marmosets are essentially nature's built-in chimeras, okay? And if you aren't sure what a chimera is, it's basically like a mashup of different DNA or different creatures. So like in mythology, you can think of like the actual chimera, which is the lion, goat, snake hybrid thing that breathes fire and all of that. The marmosets aren't like that, but they're more on the different DNA side. So we'll kind of get into that a little bit more in just a second. So marmosets, they're tiny monkeys.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And when I say tiny, I mean tiny.
Tiny?
Tiny.
How tiny?
Like able to wrap around your finger tiny.
Oh my God.
Like incredibly tiny. They are found in South America. And most of the species are 5 to 9 inches long.
That's tiny. That's
that
adorable.
Is quite small. Yeah, I feel like we can't compare it to our pickup truck.
No, that would be a lot of baby monkeys.
That would be a lot
for
of
one pickup
maybe
truck.
Maybe we should reverse it. How many marmosets equal a pickup truck? But their tails, even though they're only like 5 to 9 inches long, their tails are actually longer than their bodies. So their tails can be even longer.
Is that so the tail is not included in the 5 to 9 inch?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyways, these marmosets look super goofy as
aww.
Well. Yeah, they look straight out of like a Rick and Morty, straight out of a Back to the Future wild old man hair. Like
just, ear hair.
Yeah, just ear hair sticking out from their sides. And they're often compared to, like, Gollum, because they're, like, sit, like, hunched over.
Shrimp
just,
posture.
Like, that wild, yes, shrimp posture. But, yeah, they'll just, like, sit there with their hair, and it is adorable. They live for a decent amount of time. I would say, like, 10 to 12 years up to, like, 20 in captivity.
Yeah.
I feel like being so small, you wouldn't expect that.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I would think that they would have a lot of predators.
Aww.
I'm not going to get too much into, like, really the biology on the marmosets because I'm going to focus on why they are considered chimeras more. But you have to give a little bit of an intro into these guys. I can't just ploop you in.
Bloop.
Ploop you into the crazy. So these little guys, they are highly social. They will live in family groups and they have cooperative parenting.
Cooperative parenting?
Cooperative parenting.
So
that means that sometimes even the older siblings
will
help raise the babies.
Okay.
It is truly
it takes a village.
It's truly a It Takes a Village type of creature. And they use high-pitched calls to communicate.
Yeah.
Yes,
cute.
Of course.
Yeah.
High-pitched calls, scent marking, and even facial expressions.
Love.
Yeah. Yeah. So
do they know how to roll their eyes?
I'm sure they do. Do you think they do, like, the tism roll their eyes where it's, like, all the way around? Or the actual roll your eyes? That was one of the signs for me. Okay. So, now into the meat of it. For reproduction, most marmosets are going to be giving birth to twins. Flashback to my psychos. They also gave birth to twins.
Mm-hmm.
They do it a lot, and they reproduce rapidly, like several births per year.
Per year?
Yeah, per year. Per year. It's not just like one several season. Several
pregnancy cycles per year?
Yes, yeah, several births per year. Yeah, yeah. Not a great time. Well, think about how small they are. It probably doesn't take long for them to like pop out.
I guess.
The amount of energy it takes to create one. You can probably do it pretty quickly. They're like machines, almost.
Hopping out baby monkeys.
But these twins, what's unique is that they are sharing a placenta. And because of that shared blood circulation, these stem cells are all over the place and just flowing within.
That doesn't happen in humans, right?
The siblings.
Human twins?
No.
Yeah.
So human twins, the way that it works is that, like, if it's truly genetic, they will, your body will basically, or the stem cell in there will designate another stem cell to do exactly the same thing as it is.
And okay.
Develop a copy of itself in the web. This one, they're still both twins, but they're stem cells are kind of flowing in between it. So one twin stem cell is flowing into the other twin.
Yeah, so they're just like sharing.
Basically, they're DNA. Sharing DNA, sharing stem cells as they're developing. Okay? And eventually, these stem cells will implant fully and become part of the twin's body. So at some point, the they swappy anchor, swap
yeah.
stops.
Uh-huh.
And whatever is there, right? And so the result is that we have two marmosets with two different sets of DNA. So one marmoset will have both itself's DNA and its twin's DNA.
It has both, two it sets, has two both. Copies?
Yes, it okay. has different DNA, one from itself, one from its twin. So essentially, back in like 2005, there was a PNAS study where researchers actually discovered that there were many marmosets that had blood cells that didn't match their own tissue DNA.
Oh, what?
Yeah, like straight up different.
Like you take a sample of blood from home dog and it doesn't even match himself?
Correct. That's correct. Crazy. Yeah.
Because what? It's his twins?
Yeah, it's his twins. Yeah, it gets even crazier because in one case, there was a female marmoset that passed on her twin's DNA to her offspring.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like if I had my aunt's DNA or my uncle's DNA.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. So her baby is genetically more like a niece or a nephew than a child, which Weird. Is crazy. And it's just something that occurs naturally, which... Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's unusual. It throws a wrench in everything about what you think of when it comes to
That's crazy.
How things could act within utero.
Yeah.
You know? And that'll come into the safe zone a little bit later.
Safe
right?
zone.
Right? We're not the only ones thinking that it's a little goofy, a little freaky. So that's really all I have for my little marmosets.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are nature's little freaks. Chimeras. Yeah, little
That's
freaks.
Cool. Okay, well, to your baby monkey, I raise you a tiny mouse.
Oh!
We have the African spiny mouse, and they are called spiny mice because they have really stiff spine-like hairs instead of, you know, like rat hairs, which makes it difficult to swallow and harder to handle. So that's their...
Okay.
But that is not why they're freaks of nature. But before I get into that, so like I said, the name's African. They're in North and East Africa, mostly in the deserts, savannas, and scrublands. And they are nocturnal because it's, you know, hot as hell.
Of course.
So.
Of course. You have to go out at night if it's hot as heck.
Yeah.
I basically am only moving at night now that it's summer.
Right. As am I.
At least if I have a choice.
Mm-hmm. So these guys are freaks of nature because they have super duper skin regeneration and they can heal their wounds almost like immediately.
Oh, we should have put them on the regen episode.
Yeah. So
cool.
Not only does their skin regenerate, it's also like super, I want to say loose, kind of in the way that a lizard's tail is loose. In the way that if you're going to grab onto me like a bird, take me away, my skin can just kind of slough off, which I think is disgusting.
Excuse me.
But yes, they can shed their skin to escape predators and they can regrow it. And that's, I think, where evolution really said, we got to do this fast or else you're a goner. They can regenerate hair follicles, sweat glands, cartilage, epithelia, but not their tail.
Not their tail.
They will and can shed their tail like a lizard, but it does not regrow. I was like, can't you figure that out?
Out of all of the things, I guess they're like, we can't change the tail.
I don't know. Maybe because there's bone in there. Okay. I don't think they can regrow bone. But they can do cartilage.
Let's backtrack.
Okay.
So back to the sloughing off of the skin.
Yes.
That picture that I had in my head,
it's of gross, huh?
Like a bird coming down and like picking the skin off of this mouse was horrid. And I had to share it so that all of our listeners could also picture it just yanking off. You don't grab the arm. It's just skin and yep. It just goes.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily think it's the same skin we're thinking of to where underneath is just straight up pizza sauce.
Yeah.
But maybe it's more of like a, I don't know, something. Maybe it's
like
detaching.
The layers. Like, you know how we have 7 layers of skin? I wonder if it pulls like the top, like hypothetically, like 3 layers.
Yeah, something's not detaching. Not to the point. I don't know.
That's gross. That is gross. Okay. Sorry to interrupt, but I just couldn't get that image out of my head.
No, man. Yeah. But they have regenerative biology traits. So the big thing is regeneration without any scarring, which is found in our axolotl boys, mm-hmm. but not really a mammalian trait.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think we dove into it a little bit with the axolotl
mm-hmm.
about how they have something that stops scar tissue from developing.
Because scar tissue is pretty much your endpoint, mm-hmm. you know?
It's, yeah. Well, and I think I sent you an article, but I don't think we've talked about it yet on the podcast, about how the lotls, it's like scientists are actually starting to look into them now
mm-hmm.
for human regeneration.
Yeah.
So we predicted about time. Either that or manifested it. What are the other?
Well, yeah, speaking of which, we will definitely find them in the safe zone. So stay tuned. Mm. So like you said, normal fibrotic scar tissue is made out of collagen, so it's more of an endpoint, not necessarily that you can regrow a limb if you're going to grow scar tissue.
Oh, got it.
But in our little Mises, there is lower collagen disposition, and a immune system is triggered to not begin fibrosis. So the immune system attacks or stops fibrosis. That's kind of the mechanism that prevents fibric scar tissue.
Mm.
And an extracellular regenerative matrix is what we're looking at for the skin tissue, which is just a really fancy word for
skin,
I guess. Yeah.
I was like, that's literally what our skin is on a complicated level in a jargon term, you know?
And of course, this is such an interesting concept that we had to do an experiment. They gave our little Mises an ear piercing. They punched the hole. And so in other animals, the hole would heal with some sort of collagen scar tissue that kind of creates your ear piercing.
Yeah.
But in these guys, there is no hole and there is no scar tissue.
Just nothing. You know? Just like it never happened.
It was the model that they did was actually like a gauge. You know, like the gauge the earring. So, because, you know, if you think of whole ear piercing, it'll close up pretty quick.
Yeah, it will.
But a gauge is a totally different thing.
Yeah, it is. A gauge is like an actual hole.
But no, this entire hole healed completely like it never existed. No scar tissue, no ring, no nothing.
I wonder if they have a limit like axolotls do. Like, yeah. What is it? Like, what was it? Like five? Right? It was like five. It was five times that they could grow a limb that back they can perfectly.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then at that point, it was just going to be... They could grow it back, but it was going to be deformed.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if there's a limit.
Further research needs to be done on these guys then.
So, yeah, that's my little African spiny mice. Not only is he a spiky dude, he is able to regrow his limbs. And that has helped him escape predators and heal from their attacks.
Huh. Evolution is wild.
You would honestly think Mother more animals. Wild. That just seems like the logical thing to do.
As, what, with the skin?
Yeah, and putting more energy towards wound regeneration, yeah. You'd think that, you know, more animals, even us.
Just a natural healer.
Yeah.
Just a natural healer. Well, that's cool. I feel like I have not heard of the African spiny mice.
I have not
before.
Either.
Yeah. So we learn something new every day. Well, I guess not every day. Every month when we do
every
these
month.
Podcasts. Okay, so my next creature is a creature singular. So I want to get into a particular case of freakiness.
Okay.
Enter Frank and Louie.
Louie.
So you can either refer to it as Frank and Louie or Franken Louie.
Like the first guy's name is Franken?
No, like Frankenstein.
Right.
Like Franken Louie.
Oh, one word.
Yeah, one word. Yeah.
Oh, Frankenstein, God, Franken Louie. What is this creature?
Yeah, so it is the cat with two faces.
Two faces?
Two faces.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will let you elaborate.
And people may have seen of like two faces in utero or while developing, but they don't typically last long. Frank and Louis, however, did, right? He lived a very long life, right? To get into it, he is a Janus cat, which means two faces, and he was born in 1999.
Oh!
Yep. So we're throwing it back to the beginning of the millennia when everybody thought, what, didn't everybody think like in 1999 the world was going to end in 2000?
I thought the world ended in 2012.
No, that was because of the Mayan calendar.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm talking about people
just
literally thought
the end
like,
of the millennia.
Like doomsday party. Like they would not see it. Like technology.
I won't see you tomorrow.
Yeah, literally. I saw some movie making a gag of it. And I can't remember it. If it comes back to me, I'll bring it up. But I digress. So this cat, Franken Louie, has two mouths. Yeah, what that mouth do, right? Two mouths, two noses, and three eyes.
Oh, yep. So close to being halfway normal.
Almost.
What? Hold on.
Two mouths, two noses, three eyes. The middle one isn't functional. But it's still there. Yep, look up Frank and Louie. It's actually kind of cute. You can't hate on him. He's an icon.
But he's, wow. Is you it, gotta Google
internet
this.
He's internet famous.
Wow.
Yes. Are you looking at him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I almost didn't know what to expect, but it makes sense.
I know, it doesn't look as screwed up as you. Obviously, we will be posting photos on our social media, so go look at it. But no, it's not as screwed up as you think it is.
No.
Yeah.
With an asterisk. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the Janus cat, I called them a Janus cat. So that Janus actually comes from the Roman god Janus, who had two faces looking in the opposite directions. Mm-hmm. So I guess people, our listeners, can kind of think about that when trying to picture
Franken
Louie.
Yeah.
Despite having these two faces, there's only one brainstem and esophagus.
Hmm.
So they did share like the same neck.
So they can be each mouth can get fed, but it'll go down the same esophagus?
No, apparently. So only one mouth could eat.
Hmm.
Yeah. So even though there are two mouths, only one mouth could eat, which is just wow. Because then what's the point of what? So really, what does that mouth do? What's that second one do? Is it just like screaming?
Well, it would have to have a trachea access to make noise, you know?
Oh, I guess you're right. Oh, shit. It goes deeper than that.
So...
All right. I think the big question is, if they've got two faces / two heads-ish, do they share a consciousness or not? What do you think?
Well, you said it had one brainstem.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to imagine that they're just identical. Same, yes, but I would think same, yes, same conscious, same thought process, same, you know?
Then that's why you have a biology degree. It does. It had one unified consciousness.
Oh, how does it know? How do they know? What does that mean?
Well, it just has no, it doesn't have two brains. That's what that means.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing you're really controlling would be eye movement and smell.
Mm-hmm.
And that just means you have two different organs that you're controlling, like you have two different hands.
Yeah.
You know? I hear out of two different ears. I see out of all these eyeballs.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I have
fair.
Two different noses.
That's fair. You have two different noses.
Well, if I'm this kitty.
All right. So the way that Frank and Louie functioned was that Frank was the active side. So he was kind of in control of things. And Louie... He just didn't function independently.
Louis's just there for vibes.
Louis is just the ultimate vibe god. He's just there vibing. What's crazy about them, ultimately, other than the two faces, is that most Janus cats, so most of these types of cats, don't live past a few days, obviously due to like breathing and feeding difficulties. That makes sense. But Frank and Louis, they were adopted by a vet nurse named Martha, who hand-fed and cared for him for 15 years.
Hand-fed?
Hold on. 15 years.
Yeah.
Hand-fed. This woman made this anomaly live way past what it was supposed to.
That's insane.
Just with, like, love and care.
Tender love and care.
It was just, like, TLC. Like, you
I
are
can't
going
stop
to
looking
make
at
it.
This guy.
Yeah. He actually became the Guinness World Record holder as the longest living Janus cat, passing away in 2014.
Oh!
That's wild. 1999 to 2014.
Wow.
He saw the rise of iPhones.
I didn't know what I was doing in 2014.
I don't even know what we were doing in 2014.
That's crazy. I can't stop
looking. And I don't want to age us either, so. What's really adorable is that he was described as gentle, curious, affectionate, and he literally beat the odds to become the ultimate symbol of compassion and weirdness combined.
Wow.
Yeah. Ultimately, what caused it, right? Because it's like, okay, did it just magically appear? You know, is it cursed, right? Why does it have two faces?
Why you got two faces?
Why does he have two faces? So it's something called craniofacial duplication, which is, wait for it, triggered by the abnormal activity of the, I'm not kidding, Sonic Hedgehog protein.
Sonic the Hedgehog protein is what caused Frank and Louie?
SHH protein. Yep, hold on. We have it in us as well.
Humans?
Yes, so we all have Sonic Hedgehog proteins within us. Yeah, so... this Sonic Hedgehog protein, it is basically controlled and produced by the Sonic Hedgehog gene.
Well, of course.
Of course, naturally. But this gene is kind of like the Hox genes in humans. So the Hox gene, H-O-X, they're kind of like a blueprint of how the body layout is supposed to be. Like head goes here, arm goes there, etc. So the Sonic Hedgehog gene is crucial for embryonic development, acting as a signaling molecule that will guide cell growth, specialization, and body part formation. So literally, it does the exact same thing.
Why have
like,
I never heard
different
of this?
Thought.
I know. What?
This blew my mind. I thought I was hallucinating when I was like, do we really have something in us called the Sonic Hedgehog?
That's crazy.
Gene. But maybe Sonic the Hedgehog, the video game, was named after
there you go.
This gene. You never know. But specifically, it is involved in developing the brain, the spinal cord, eyes, limbs, and other organs. And like the midline of the forebrain, so it separates the eye field into two eyes and plays a role in limb development by influencing the identity of each finger.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In a nutshell, it's important.
Got it.
It is a gene. The Sonic Hedgehog gene can affect the Sonic Hedgehog protein, which can sometimes make our body plan do weird things.
Yeah.
Like having two noses, two mouths, and three eyes. So, yeah, when this protein overexpresses, you will get two faces.
Interesting. Why? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
wow.
So we don't want our Sonic the Hedgehog inside of us.
Although,
if I
get to look
crazy.
Like Frank and Louie, mm-hmm. I just might.
And there is role for them in the safe zone, which okay. I believe it is time for the
safe zone. Wow.
All right.
Both of my homeboys made it. Did yours make it? You just said Frank and Louie did.
Yes. Yeah. Kind of. But enough. Yeah. Let's see. How did the glass frog make it in?
I'm going to keep it surface level. But the glass frog has inspired some transparency technology, naturally. You get to study how those cells interact with each other, and you can kind of create something with technology. And we also are studying red blood count or red blood cell concealment, which may have implications for blood storage and clotting disorders. Because how does he suck up all his blood and not clot?
Oh, holy crap.
Right.
I wonder if they could use that. I feel like I've said holy crap a lot in this podcast. That's my phrase for
holy
tonight.
Crap.
Holy crap. But I wonder if that could help with like blockages in the heart.
Exactly.
Yeah, man.
So it's being used for anti-clotting therapies.
Cool.
Organ preservation and blood storage solutions. Is that not cool?
That's super cool. Who would have thought
exactly.
that a little glass froggy
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
could do that?
I think all three of those are very real. So it's very, very cool if Mr. Glass Frog could help us out.
Yeah, I feel like that's, especially like in America, that's a super common problem, mm-hmm. like cardiac issues. And a mm-hmm. lot of it is clotting. Mm-hmm. A lot of it. Also stroke. I mean, that's clot in the brain, right?
Yeah.
So it's, the implications are there. That's cool. My little guy also made it. Mr. Marmoset.
Baby
Bonky. Chimera. So their natural chimericism offers a super unique model for how to understand organ transplantation and autoimmune disease, as well as maternal fetal interactions. So, I mean, of course, if it's happening in the womb, mm-hmm. like we want to see what's happening because we also have twins. We're also mammals. We also could have this.
Could run into this.
Mm-hmm. Maybe evolutionary. But really, the reason why scientists are looking at it is because we are able to kind of study how the immune system is tolerating genetically distinct tissues.
That happens. That's foreign to you. Mm-hmm. So that is true.
It's super key in cancer. And I think the most important one in this is going to be transplant biology. Because think about every day how many people are having transplant organs,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're also looking at, you know, using not necessarily human organs, like maybe artificial organs or organs from different sources.
Yeah.
So if we could look at how they're able to cope in
overcome
one body,
the barrier
yes,
of...
with the two distinct things, because that's crazy. It's crazy. It's basically two organisms living in one almost.
Yeah.
There have been cases, actually, where women have had children that don't match their DNA.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't even pass a maternal test.
Correct.
That's crazy.
There have been cases where, like, our DNA like dermal DNA on our skin, like, would be different from like our blood.
Ooh,
and
weird.
So there's just different things happening. So by looking at the marmoset, scientists are able to see maybe how that could be happening in us as well. And that's really all I have for my marmosetsy.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm,
those
mm-hmm.
are also very useful.
Yeah.
This safe zone is proving to be very
I know. Who would have freaking thought?
Yeah.
Who would have thought? It's such a pleasant surprise every time, though.
Exactly.
It is. That's why we're here.
Well, lastly for me, our spiny mouse also made it. And it's a little bit more predictable in terms of wound healing, tissue regeneration, biomedical sort of implications for regenerative technology, especially for scar tissue. So they can be potential models for burn treatment in terms of skin grafts and things like that, and for organ regeneration and stem cells as a whole.
Oh.
So, yeah, I thought the skin grafts and burn treatment was definitely something that is right up his alley if he's just losing skin and regrowing skin.
Holy crap, I didn't even think of
I know.
It is again.
Holy crap.
I wouldn't have even thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
But skin grafting, burn treatment,
mm-hmm.
maybe we need to look into that instead of just applying fish scales.
Exactly.
Even though that actually works really well. That could be stupid useful. Who would have thought that sloughing off the skin would be so beneficial?
Exactly.
I would not.
Thank you for your sacrifice.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Frank and Louie.
Yes,
did
do tell.
Kind of make it.
Interesting.
To the safe zone. So, of course, Frank and Louie, being so internet famous, helped destigmatize physical deformities in general when it comes to
so
animals.
Good.
Yeah, so now more are getting adopted. There's less just stigma around them in general. And more people are kind of out for it. It inspired conversations around disability, survival, and even the value of care.
Because
remember, she hand
15 fed, years
took care of it. Shout out Martha. So the real reason I wanted to put Frank and Louie in here is because his condition really helps scientists better understand that craniofacial development and the SHH Sonic Hedgehog gene.
Yes.
I just feel weird saying it. But it is. It's linked to birth defects in humans. Actually, one that's really common is a cleft palate.
Oh.
Yeah, think about it. That's a facial deformity.
Yeah.
That's controlled by the SHH gene.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I know. But by looking at Frank and Louie, it encourages kind of like a non-invasive study of how that facial symmetry and duplication can occur and how they're able to function, you know, kind of what's happening. Like, they found out that the eye was non-functional, you know, they were able to find out that it could function. Like, you do have almost like an active and a non-active, but it's able to function. I mean, 15 years. That's a ridiculous amount of time for something like that. So even though typically Janus cats don't live long, Frank and Louie really gave scientists that like unique chance of studying how the anatomy functions over time. So he wasn't just a cat. He was a living legend.
Living legend.
Of resilience and rare biology.
TLC.
TLC, man. I think that goes to show that you also need to give yourself some TLC.
Yeah, man. Tender
love and care. Tender love and care.
Yes. So, thanks again for joining us as we uncover some of nature's freakiest freaks, from skin sloughing mice to chimeric marmosets.
Ugh,
we hope you've enjoyed this month's podcast.
Join us next time as we are going to strut down the catwalk
with the catwalk.
Fashionistas of the wild. You have never seen jaw-dropping styles like the ones Mother Nature has created.
And remember, we're going to post pictures and sound clips of the freaky fauna we discussed today on our social media platforms. So go take a peek. And as always,
stay freaky.